Good afternoon, fellow Patriots. This is Matt Shea, and welcome to Patriot Radio, broadcasting live from the capital of free Washington, Spokane Valley, deep in the heart of God's country, in the American Readout, in the legacy of Dr. Stan Monteith, bringing you the story behind the story and the news behind the news. And as always, this is the year we wake up and take our freedom back, because our hope is not in man, but in Jesus Christ. And we can't end in prayer. We must also move to action. And as James 4:17 admonishes us and everyone in Congress, to one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him, it is sin. And now from the front, your daily intelligence briefing on the international front. Russia continuing to press the attack in Syria, and now U.S. Special Forces troops facing off against Russian Spetsnaz. That is actually happening on the ground in Syria right now. Also on the international front, China now moving forward with its inclusion of the yuan in... this really bothers me. Into the international basket of currencies, the SDR, Strategic Drawing Rights, closest thing we have to a one-world currency. And the United States now has said, that's okay. We are giving our consent for China to come forward. So it's going to happen in the next year, which means the U.S. dollar is going to lose even more value just by virtue of that happening. Also on the international front, massive unrest in Europe continues. Refugees, predominantly men, you got to check out the pictures. It is irrefutable evidence. They're predominantly men coming across the borders. They're streaming across. Hungary has closed off its borders, and now Slovenia has put up a fence as well. And one of the reports recently from a German newspaper was that Germany was sliding towards civil war over this issue. Sweden, and this is brutal, and I want to go through it real quick. But Sweden, totally not reported in U.S. media, but 9 refugee centers burnt to the ground by Swedes who are just fed up. If the government's not going to listen, they're just going to burn the refugee centers to the ground. And why is that happening? Well, I think it's captured by this article today by Paul Joseph Watson on InfoWars. A Syrian migrant brutally rapes a woman while spitting in her face, and she suffered actually a double rape right near one of these refugee centers. Folks, that's what they're getting fed up with, this unreported crime, this complete diminishment in the media of the situation. The crisis in Europe right now has people taking matters into their own hands, and that's why this is going on. Government is failing at its very basic duty, and that is to prevent an invasion of the country. Not just in Europe, but also here in the United States of America, which brings us to the national front. South Carolina now, the third state, literally, to say, you know what? We're not going to take any immigrants here from those countries, and no jurisdiction within the borders of South Carolina may help. There's actually a resolution, and here's what it calls for. This is in Berkeley County in South Carolina. Okay, here's what it says. Quote, all South Carolina public officials to immediately cease and desist from helping to resettle Middle Eastern refugees anywhere in the state until the legislature can act on the issue and pass legislation reflecting the will of the people. And now two other counties, and sorry if I said states earlier, counties in South Carolina, Greenville and York, are expected to vote soon on similar resolutions. Folks, that's the way this is going to be handled. It's going to be handled at the local level. And I have a question for our county commissioners here in Spokane County. Will you do the same thing? Will you prevent this from happening in this county? And every county around the state. Ponderay, Stevens, Okanagan, Ferry, Adams, Douglas. If those counties just started to do it, it would create a groundswell, I think, and spread quickly across Washington. So South Carolina, right now, is setting the example. Also on the national front, and I'm going to keep hammering them for this. You know, if you say you're a Republican and you continue to increase the size and scope of government and increase spending and raise the debt ceiling, I got to question whether you're conservative or not. Because that's not my definition of conservative, and I know certainly for the listeners of Patriot Radio, it is not your definition of conservative. And yet, one of the very first things that happens under Paul Ryan's watch is they increase spending and raise the debt. And Rand Paul, actually, I think, excoriated Marco Rubio last night correctly by calling Rubio out on it. You know, these schemes to redistribute wealth, these schemes to increase spending, where does it stop? We all want a robust military. We all want a strong national defense. So why aren't we prioritizing that in our spending and cutting out the rest of the fat that's going around? Also on the national front, Trident missile launches off the coast of California, especially near LA. Done intentionally, so a lot of people would see it. And these are coming from ballistic missile submarines, okay? And I want to highlight exactly what that means, okay, folks? Those submarines exist to be nation killers. They exist as a deterrent. If anything happened to the United States, and those are the only things left on the face of the earth from the U.S., they would take out who did it. That's the whole reason for their existence. So the fact that not one, but two Trident missiles are launched in very clear visibility of residents in California, so it would go onto the internet very quickly, was, I think, them trying to send a message to China. Here's the thing. I don't think China's really listening to that. And they're continuing to build their Blue Water Navy. And if we really cared, about national defense, we wouldn't be drawing down the size of the Navy right now with those threats out there. Also on the national front, a bunch of traders getting together saying, and this is a quote, the next 1,000-point sell-off day is coming. So they expect another dramatic stock market downturn. And look, folks, all of the objective indicators are pointing that way. Shipping is down dramatically. The Baltic Dry Index is down dramatically. The factory output indexes are down dramatically. We have 95 million people out of the workforce right now. And yet, if you were listening to the administration in Washington, D.C., everything's just fine. Everything's great. But the fact of the matter is, trade should be picking up right now in anticipation of the holiday season with all the orders coming into the United States from factories, and yet that's not happening. I was talking to somebody yesterday, a good friend of mine, who's the CEO of a $100-plus million company, and he was telling me the capital markets out there are absolutely dead. He's not seen anything like it in 45 years. Nothing. Nobody has. That means that no one is investing right now, folks. They aren't taking chances. There's no one out there saying, hey, here's the new and next best thing that we need to invest in. And again, pointing toward a downward trend for our economy, dramatic downward trend. And to put an exclamation mark on that, the Treasury is selling bonds at 0% yield while the Chinese continue to dump those same treasuries at a record pace. And that 0% yield, okay, folks, that is, you're purchasing a piece of paper and you expect to be paid nothing back except the money that you paid for it. And the only reason that investors would do that is if they believed that that yield, in other words, 0% yield, would actually beat inflation. And I'm going to continue to harp on that as well, because what that tells us out there right now is that there are no good investments as far as treasuries are concerned, that folks just want to keep their money. On the regional front, Washington State House of Representatives right now, one vote away from the majority, and there are negotiations occurring with a Democrat to see if he wants to caucus with us. Folks, we're one vote away, and I should say a tie, but it would really be a majority. One vote away because of the grassroots. We are that close in Washington State, a hard blue state. Unbelievable. And it was all because you got involved. Also on the regional front, Coach Joe Kennedy, we talked about it, he was suspended. There was a rally. Actually, there's a rally today in Bremerton for Coach Kennedy. And I think he's really standing up for what we all believe in, and that is the right of conscience, the right to actually pray after a game and thank God for the victory and thank God sometimes for the defeat. What I don't understand is why that superintendent in Bremerton is still in office. Now, praise God, we had a couple of Freedom Agenda candidates running over there. One of them won. Now there's a 3-2 liberal to conservative, Christian to anti-Christian, Christian being two, anti-Christian being three on that school board. We need to get that superintendent out. And folks, we need to continue calling over there to make sure that the rest of the school board members understand that that superintendent needs to go. This was a vendetta. He went out there intentionally, probably went to one of these conferences out there, learned about this. Oh, you can't do prayer on the 50-yard line after a game, and then decided to implement it in his own school district. And he needs to pay the price with the job that he has right now for doing that and making that decision. He needs to be fired. And that school board can do it. And lastly, on the local front, it's official now. Sam Wood, by 99 votes, has won the city council race out in Spokane Valley. And Spokane Valley will remain the capital of free Washington. He beat the incumbent, Ben Wick, who is a pro-tax city council person. And don't forget what Ben Wick did. Not only was he for the gas tax, which was rejected by the voters in Washington State by 67%. He came over to Olympia and tried to convince some of us to vote against our constituents. Not to mention voting against principle and the promise that people like myself made that we would not raise taxes while all this waste and profligate spending was going on. He went over there and behind closed doors tried to do that. And folks, I got to tell you something. We should never forget that that happened. And praise God, Sam Wood won. And now the city of Spokane Valley is going to make some great things happen. Keep your eye on them in the next 100 days. And that is The Briefing. Remember, the antidote to dependency and socialism is to be a God-fearing, self-reliant, freedom-loving American. Thank you to everybody that has been praying for the show. Please go to Facebook.com/Patriot Radio US, like the page, share it with your friends and family. And if you want to support the show, you can just simply go through the campaign at VoteShea.com, and you can support. And thank you to everybody that has been. It was a terrific month, helped keep us on the air for another while. Folks, thank you for showing your confidence and support in Patriot Radio. It really is encouraging. Well, speaking of encouraging, today I've got a couple guests that a lot of you know, and I actually have them in the studio at the same time. My good friend John Jacob Schmidt of the American Readout Radio Operators Network, and also Anthony Bosworth of Liberty for All here in Washington State. Gentlemen, thank you for joining me on Patriot Radio today.
Hey, great to be here with you, Matt. Thank you so much for having us. Great to be with you again.
Thanks for having us on.
So I want to start real quick with, John, you've been talking about it on your radio show. What is going on in the world? I mean, everything is just pointing in this horrible direction. And the lack of foreign policy in the Middle East literally has sent the world into chaos. What's your take on it, being a former military person yourself? And by the way, thank you both for your service. You both served in the military.
Likewise.
What's your take on it?
Well, you're right about the foreign policy being an absolute disaster. It's something that's going to come home to roost. Remember, and of course, as Christian patriots, we need to remember that this is spiritual warfare. We are nations under judgment. I've been misidentifying this, calling what's going on with the Muslim invasion an invasion, when in fact it's not so much of an invasion, but just a surrender without a fight. And what we're doing is we're not being invaded. We are surrendering. We're seeing now at Canada, they're starting to fly them in. We're bringing them into the United States, and Europe has fallen. And the people are standing up against this. They are taking to the streets by the thousands. They're forming human chains along the German-Austrian border. They are taking to the streets. And what's so bizarre about this, and this is this, they're so spiritually blinded, the government. In fact, there was a report that a raid in Germany took place, using over 60 officers to take down 10 buildings in this search to seize computers and laptops, smart devices, because of hate speech. The German government are going after the German citizens who are rising up against this invasion, this Muslim invasion, And they are going after their own citizens for so-called hate crimes for speaking out against this invasion. And it's just pure madness. The only ones that have any kind of that are making any sense right now and are taking a lot of heat for it is the Christian nation of Hungary, the only Christian nation left in Europe. In fact, their constitution clearly gives not God, not the nature's God, but Christ credit for their nation. It's clearly outlined in their constitution. Incidentally, they're the only nation in Europe who are sealing their borders and being accused and having fingers pointed at them by the unbelieving rest of Europe for being unchristian-like, for not letting all of these invaders in. So this is just pure madness.
It really is pure madness. And the fact that we have now some counties here in the United States getting in front of this thing and saying, no, not here either. Thank you very much for trying. I think that's encouraging to me. But we should see not just three counties in South Carolina. It should be everywhere across the country.
Yes, it is. I know the fight in Idaho is underway. There's very similar legislation that is being readied to go, you know, as the legislature goes into session. This is taking hold across the United States, where people are recognizing this for what it is, this Muslim invasion for what it is. They are taking measures to combat it, but you have to dig in. You have to be resolute, because they are going to come at you accusing you of being a racist, of being a xenophobe, of being an Islamophobe. And we cannot care what they call us. We have to stand firm for our Judeo-Christian American heritage. They're going to strip it from us.
And this isn't like this is some surprise. I mean, we had with the Mexican border, you know, just untold numbers flowing across that border completely unchecked, 650,000. This was in the fourth quarter of 2014. That whole year, what they reported was 650,000 apprehended, not that went across, but apprehended at the border, and well over half of those were classified as other than Mexican. In other words, they came from another country other than Mexico.
Yes.
And a lot of them came from Libya and Syria and Pakistan and Chechnya, all the places that are really friendly to the United States.
And have known ties to state-sponsored terrorism.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. Now, Anthony, you were down in Arizona here recently. What do the folks down there in Arizona think about all this?
Well, a lot of the patriots down there have already started working out ways to stand a line. They plan on fighting it when it hits them. I mean, you know, it started with open borders down south and, you know, just the illegal immigration. But they've actually changed their approach now. They're more afraid right now of the importation of terrorists.
Well, and Arizona, well, let's just talk about Phoenix. I mean, they have a gigantic mosque now in Phoenix, and this mosque is directly tied, has been provably and directly tied to the Muslim Brotherhood.
Yes.
Yeah, most definitely. Right now, most of your clashing that you're seeing between citizens and the Muslim immigrants is happening in the Phoenix area right now.
Yeah, just amazing. John, what are your thoughts on how to fight back at this? You know, it seems like any time that we raise up, you brought up the point, anytime we say, hey, we don't want to honor CARE, which is a member of the Muslim Brotherhood, according to court documents in the Holy Land Foundation trial. Anytime we do that, automatically we hate people and we're somehow hateful and racist and all of these things. How do we combat that?
Well, that's one of the things we need to be doing most of our fighting on our knees. First of all, the political correctness is shredding our country to pieces. The very fabric is coming undone. We're seeing the racial divide in this country has been so strategically fomented. You know, in our universities, what's going on across the South with a flag representing the heritage of you know, a very important part of our heritage in our country is being you know, lifted up as some type of symbol of oppression. But at the same time, they're oppressing people under the banner of equality. And of course, we saw that with the homosexual movement as well. Once again, we have to fight this with facts, regardless of what they call us. We have to keep pointing out over and over and reminding the American people that these mosques, which, you know, the deed, which is held by the Islamic, what is the organization?
North American Islamic Trust.
There we go. Thank you very much. They are all unindicted co-conspirators with one of the largest, or the largest terrorism court case. What was the proceedings that were taking place, that there's ties to terrorism all the way across, you know, all of these organizations. Okay. And we need to keep reminding people of that and keep pointing to them the evidence, despite what we're being told about how great it is and how much of a contribution Islam has made to America. We need to keep showing them the videos over and over of what's happening to Europe right now. And that's a very powerful thing, but you cannot argue with what you're watching before your eyes.
So, and folks, I want to drive this point home. So Ibrahim al-Barassi and his wife, after being caught filming the superstructure of a bridge, had their home raided. And in a secret sub-basement, so not in the basement, in a sub-basement, a secret sub-basement, they found the archives of the Muslim Brotherhood. In these archives, the Muslim Brotherhood literally wrote out, in these words, "These are the organizations of the Muslim Brotherhood in the United States, North American Islamic Trust."
Yes.
So it wasn't like this was like an indirect connection or something. I mean, they admitted it themselves. It's called an admission against interest in a court proceeding. And who owns the mosque in Spokane Valley, Washington? The North American Islamic Trust. Folks, it is in our own backyard right now.
Yeah. That's what I was trying to think of. It's NAIT. You'll often hear it pronounced Nate. And Nate is they are the ones that are. Oh, and I had forgotten about that story. I'm glad you brought that up. But then also in these mosques that are being investigated, there have whole arms caches in the mosques across the United States. They're preparing to completely dominate. They're saying they're going to do it. We don't have to even speculate and wonder if it could. It's not conspiracy theory. It is a conspiracy. They are conspiring to dominate the United States. It's not theory at all, because there's prima facie evidence of their intentions just by their very statements telling us what they are going to do. But we can't see it.
You would have, and I'm going to say some very strong language here. You would have to be absolutely insane and hate America to ignore the fact that 1,400 years of history has been extremely consistent in how they have acted in every single country, starting in the Middle East and then around the globe. You would have to completely ignore history. Anthony, what's your take on this?
My takes on it is, let's look at it from the patriot side of it. They've taught us with the liberalization of America, they go for our school boards, they go for our local governments, and that's exactly what these groups are doing. They are gaining power hand over fist simply by taking our school boards, by taking our local city councils, and then they get to dictate the local regulations and local laws, and they're using our own system against us. They're using our own constitution against us simply because we're sitting back and we're allowing them to infiltrate every level of government, including our school boards.
It's absolutely true. It really is. And it's going to take us fighting back at the local level to put the brakes on this. As I've been talking about on the show recently, especially John over in Idaho, there is direct ties from the Idaho Office of Refugees to Janus, its parent company, to George Soros through a contractual obligation. And this is the same guy, George Soros, who funded this New America Foundation report that said that radical right-wing extremists are a greater threat than ISIS, which is where our sheriff, I think, got that here in Spokane County. What's your comment on that?
Well, it really goes down to, it's one of two things, either willful ignorance, they're choosing to ignore the facts, or spiritually deceived. And I think it's a combination of both. And you have plenty of useful idiots, as Lenin would have said, who are willing to trumpet and march along to lead this, to usher this anti-American agenda into our country. And, you know, you mentioned a sheriff that rolls his eyes and almost spits the word constitutionalist out of his mouth, while these people are ushering in something under the guise of the Constitution. As you know, Anthony just said, they're destroying or they're manipulating the Constitution. Our own commander in chief says that he's a constitutional lawyer. Well, probably became a constitutional lawyer so he could figure out how to dismantle it. But the other problem, the challenge that we have is that people are using the Constitution to say they have a right. You know, if you say Muslims can't this or that, then you don't truly support the Constitution. What's interesting about that is that Islam, being a total system, military, political, economic, and a religious components to it, everything about it is antithetical to our Constitution. You cannot support Islam and support our Constitution. They are like oil and water. You either support one or the other. But you can't support Islam and say you're doing it in the name of supporting the Constitution. You're deceived if you think that.
The Quran, Reliance of the Traveler, which is essentially the case law in the Muslim world, all are very clear on this point. They're very clear on this point that you can't pledge allegiance to the Constitution if you pledged allegiance to Allah. I mean, that is their own wording. And I challenge any liberal listening today, I challenge you to rebut that with concrete, not somebody's opinion, not emotion, not calling somebody a Nazi, but rebut that with concrete evidence. And by the way, for the historical record, the Nazis were actually tied to the radical terrorist organizations in the Middle East, but that's a different show.
Yeah, very true.
So, Anthony, I want to get your take on this. The Constitution is what unites us. That's what unites us. That's why it's so important. If you have a theopolitical construct like you have with Islam that cannot pledge allegiance to the Constitution by its own doctrines, by its own writings, that's what unites us. And yet, it seems like today, constitutionalists, anybody who loves the Constitution is being demonized.
Well, when you're going to dismantle the Constitution, first you got to dismantle the groups that protect it. In the last 5 years, constitutionalists have become very active in the defense of it. More than 5 years ago, the idea of constitutionalist was a weak third-party group. Now it's a mindset, it's a belief system that you can be Democrat, you can be Republican, you can be independent, and still be a constitutionalist, but that's what drives you. That's your outline, is a constitutionalist. And there's no way for them to eliminate it from our system if they allow the followers of the Constitution to exist. And, it's military doctrine, it's counterinsurgent doctrine, that we've got to villainize those that support that system. And that's what we're doing. I mean, it's not nothing new. We've been doing this around the world for over 60 years. We go in, we turn the people against a set system so we can put in place a system that we can work with or we want to manipulate. And as it is now, the American people are waking up and they're starting to see how that's applying to us. We've been doing it for 60 years. We're just now the victims of our own creation.
John?
Well, as it relates to Anthony's dead on, they have to follow that same historical formula to get their agenda forward. And in this case, constitutionalists or folks that are concerned about preserving the Constitution have to be dealt with, have to be removed, because they're the protectors of the Constitution. And it's just going to follow the same age-old formula of marginalization, then demonization. At some point, there will be criminalization, then incarceration, and eventually extermination. This is the same formula that we've seen follow over and over for patriots, those who are standing for what they're the founding principles of their nations and their people and their culture. When a new system wants to force its way in, that's the sequence of events that you see. And the constitutionalists are the ones who have the target on their front or back right now, because it's the Constitution that is the barrier. They hate the Constitution. The leftist agenda, the globalists, they hate the Constitution, are continuously trying to figure out how to get around it, through it, make it irrelevant in one way or another. So that brings us, that's where we are. That's where we're headed.
Yeah, I want to hit on that. Where are we at in the process? The criminalization has begun. Look at Coach Kennedy. Look at Baronelle Stutzman down with Arlene's Flowers.
Yes.
Look at just all of these different things that have happened to Christians across the country that don't get reported, where they're harassed at their job, where they're fired for their Christianity.
And now we're starting to see where it's not just criminalization, where somebody can be fined civilly and, you know, have their business confiscated. It's starting to move into the incarceration phase now, where folks are actually, you know, being handed sentences and facing, you know, criminal charges, not just civil anymore. So we are starting to transition. We saw, you know, with the lady, county clerk who was refusing to issue marriage licenses to homosexuals. They arrested her. Now it was because of, you know, a lot of pressure from the citizens pushing back. You know, they released her, but we're going to start to transition into the incarceration phase next.
Well, this is Matt Shea with John Jacob Schmidt of the American Readout Radio Operators Network and also Anthony Bosworth of Liberty for All. And speaking of the incarceration stage, Anthony, you have actually had to endure this yourself. If you could tell the listeners a little brief history of what happened to you and then where your case is right now.
Brief history. That's kind of hard, yeah, just simply because of the what all entails in this stand for liberty. But basically, I was requested my presence to support another patriot group supporting the Constitution, that happens to be the 10th Amendment of the Constitution, or excuse me, the Bill of Rights. And I was there supporting them, and I got kidnapped, detained, arrested, and interrogated for exercising another right I was born with.
And I want to highlight that point. It's not a constitutional right to bear arms. That right is given to us by God.
Amen.
Correct.
So okay. So you're there in the plaza. You're legally, there's no signs up whatsoever saying you cannot have firearms in the plaza, right?
That's correct.
Okay. You're legally carrying, lawfully carrying your firearms, not pointing them at anybody, nothing like that's going on. They admit that. And then you're arrested, taken into a jail, denied an attorney for a while, and then you get tried for this. And did you get a jury of your peers during that trial?
I did not. Let me make a point very clear. Not only was I legally carrying, I was lawfully carrying. They're two different things. Lawfully is by the Constitution. I was by the Bill of Rights. I was exercising, practicing a birthright. And then you've got the legal side of it that says that the laws made by man wants to restrict that right. And they've passed that into law. And now that's lawfully. I wasn't breaking legal or lawful laws. Either one.
Either one. But you were tried without a jury of your peers, even though you asked for one.
Requested a jury three times.
Okay. And the judge came down with his ruling. Could you tell the listeners a little bit about that?
His ruling was basically I wasn't afforded a jury of my peers because I was not put at risk. Risk means loss of freedom, loss of material stuff, that kind of thing. Risk doesn't just mean bodily harm. It means loss of your rights.
But what is the possible penalty for being found guilty?
The maximum for what they charged me with was 30 days in a federal lockup.
Okay. John, real quick. John, I'm going to have you cut in here. Do you think that's a loss of freedom?
To detain you against your will for 30 days?
Yeah.
I don't know. It just depends on which judge you ask.
No, apparently.
Is it an appointed judge by an Obama-appointed judge? Or it just really depends.
I guess it does.
The law is just pretty much, you know, you just kind of have to have a temperature gauge and find out, you know, which way the wind's blowing today in our justice system.
So I understand that this judge is saying that 30 days in jail and or a fine isn't a loss of freedom. Not to mention the fact that his firearm was confiscated and still hasn't been returned.
Still haven't got him back.
Okay, so the, what it was the judge was ruling, and what's the next step in the case?
The judge's ruling was, and here's kind of the play on it, and it's not as simple as what they just state. In order for them to find me guilty of noncompliance, they had to, in fact, find that I had broken a law. Because in order for it to be noncompliance with a lawful order, the order had to be lawful to start with. And so what they're finding me by fact, as they say, that I did is that while I was exercising or practicing a birthright, I was in violation of 18 USC 930, that I was in the building in an unauthorized area with a firearm. In fact, if you read the law, it's clear that I was not in violation of the law. But they pulled a little sleazy little twist on us, and they claim, and I use the word claim because they did not prove it in court, they did not even present evidence of the fact that there was apparently supposed to be some size of parking area underneath this federal facility. And they ruled the fact that since it was underground, under my feet, at whatever depth, we don't know because they wouldn't even give us that fact in court, that I was standing on top of a federal building.
So this is under the plaza, which, and I want to, this is a key point. If that's the case, where were the signs? And did they prove that there were signs up saying you could have arms?
They admitted that they did not have signs. They simply said that once the federal marshal, or excuse me, the Homeland Security officer come up and notified me I was in violation, that was considered notification in place of the signs.
John, comments?
I was going to say the nearest sign is, at least 100 feet away, saying no firearms beyond this point. This is obviously an act of, this is the most desperate act that I've been this close to watching your case, where you're standing there with your firearm legally with several other people as well who were armed. They arrest you for refusing to follow orders to leave because you're in violation by having a firearm in a federal building, which you were not, but it turns out you were on top of it because they have an underground parking garage.
Which nobody knew. Yeah, nobody knew that, right?
And like you said, they claimed this. It was not proven in court. Obviously, you have a case that you can appeal. This is a very appealable case. And the chances are, obviously, to me, you're going to win, looking at all the facts that we have. But the fact that they would try this, even that they should attempt it, this is what's infuriating to me. Once they attempt this and you're exonerated, they won't be held accountable. I think that the fear of God should be struck into our officials for violating a citizen's rights. If it's found that you were innocent and they violated your constitutional rights, there are no consequences. That's one of the things that's a serious problem with our system.
Well, keep in mind, too, if they do find that I was innocent, keep in mind, I will have already paid this debt to society that I did not owe. I'll have already spent my time in a federal lockup by the time that ever gets through court.
And on an attorney.
Correct.
Which is not cheap.
No, they're not. No, they're not.
So this is one of those things, honestly, that is so maddening to me. It's so maddening to me that here you have a very clear law. There needs to be a sign. Here you have a plaza, not a building, which is where firearms are only supposed to be restricted, is inside a federal building, that definition. Correct. And the definition is very clear on the walls and all that stuff. And now we have a judge that rules against you.
Well, Matt, here's a point that they missed in court. If you look at the law says that basically that you're not forbade from being in the public areas of the building. So, in fact, by the law, I can be on the first floor in the public areas of the building, by the law. Well, in court, do you know what they referred to the plaza as? The public plaza. And the law itself says, I'm not forbade from being in public areas of the building. So basically, by the law, I could have been in the building in the public area.
Yeah, but the parking garage underground is not public area, and you were standing on top of it, so shame on you.
Correct. Well, and here's we got to be careful with this precedence that they set, because according to what we've heard, again, they're claiming national security. They won't show us the size of this parking garage, but the parking garage proceeds under state land, under a city street. And so now if you're walking down a street in America, in Spokane, Washington, on state ground, on city land, since there is a federal facility underneath there, unbeknownst to you, you now fall under federal jurisdiction? Wait a minute here. It was just same conversation I was having with Homeland Security. You cannot hold me accountable to an imaginary line. That's why the Homeland Security and I was taking our time and openly discussing, you know, very politely,
politely
the property line. Okay, in order for you to enact your order, you got to show me where the line is. I'm willing to comply with it, even though I know you're wrong. I'm willing to comply with your request, but I want you to show me this imaginary line. You got to draw it for me, because I can't just imagine it, because I might be wrong. And we are proceeded to that area. So by this precedence that they're setting, if they've got a buried power line that's going to a federal building or a water line or a gas line or a communication line, and you happen to be standing above it, now you fall under federal jurisdiction?
I would just ask a very simple question. Who has the right of way on that road? Who plows it? Who keeps the sidewalks clear? I would ask those questions. And here, and I will tell you the answer to that question is the city of Spokane. And the United States Supreme Court has ruled on numerous occasions regarding sidewalks, regarding those types of public areas. So it was a total contrivance to do that to you. And so the next question is, you're going to be sentenced. And when is that sentencing going to happen?
If they do not move it again, it should be on December 2nd.
December 2nd. Could be, I guess, on December 7th, the day which we'll live in infamy, huh? I don't know.
It was originally set for November 10th. And I think they rethought that date and changed it very quickly.
It sounds like it. John, what are your thoughts on this? Because just 10 years ago, when I was serving, you know, in the military, I would never have thought our country would have descended so fast. And this is the country we fought for. It's kind of disheartening. What are your comments?
Well, I guess my comments on that are, we were warned. We shouldn't be surprised. We've basically have all of the ingredients for tyranny to take hold. We don't have enough good men standing up against it. And we've had so many people go down the road before us telling us, if we don't do any number of things, if we don't seal our borders, if we don't stand up for our rights, if we don't protect the Constitution, if we don't pay attention, we're going to lose our republic. And, you know, whenever it happens, people are always stunned. They can't believe it, even though they knew it was coming. And, you know, here we are. And, you know, Anthony's just going to, he's just going to have to go into the history books as another patriot that was arrested. Like, you know, how many of our founding fathers that formed this country were arrested and detained by British? How many of our apostles in the Bible were arrested by Romans? You know, it's not a felony. It's not a big, well, it is a big deal because it's a breach of justice. But what it does do, and if we're smart about this, we will seize this, because this is so exploitable. What's happening? It's a fairly small cost. Is it infraction? No, it's not an infraction. It's a misdemeanor.
It's a misdemeanor infraction. It's basically, my attorney basically likened it to a turn signal violation.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm thinking, you know, this is not a big deal. You could do 30 days, you know, standing on your head. But what the rest of the patriot community needs to do, obviously, support you. I mean, you need to have the affirmation that brother, you are in the right and they are in the wrong. Okay. So you've got that and you've got our support, but we need to exploit this. We need to keep sending that message out, putting that word out to the other patriot communities of wrongdoing by the tyrants. We need to show the tyrants for who they are and keep pointing to it and keep reminding people so they don't forget. And we need to use these kind of cases, these examples, continuously as we move forward, as patriots, as conservative Americans are waking up, we need to use cases like this to turn them from patriotic citizens into patriots.
I want to highlight something with Alexander Solzhenitsyn. He literally, they are riding in the trains literally to Siberia.
Yeah.
And they're talking about this. What could we have done?
Love right? this.
What could we have done? And he said something very profound. He said, we should have resisted when they came up our neighbor's steps to take their property, put them in jail, yes. take their freedom. And that really, to me, is the point of all this. If it's going to happen, even though it's small right now, if it's going to happen to one of us, it's going to happen to all of us. And I got to tell you something, 30 days in jail, listeners out there, think about that for yourselves. Would you want to spend 30 days in jail?
No.
Now, we kind of have, because we're in the military a little bit, and we've lived in confined spaces out of a bag for a long period of time. But it's not like jail. I mean, jail is another step yeah. of deprivation, and
it's the loss of your freedom.
Hurt.
It's unacceptable.
Exactly. And it's the worst thing you could do to a patriot is to put him in a cage.
And they know that. That's why they're doing it.
They absolutely do.
Exactly. And you know what? We got to look at kind of what they're doing here. Remember, and I've said this publicly before, because people come up and they say, why do you bother? Why are you bothering with it? You could have paid your $2. You could have paid your $50. You could have said, yes, sir. This would have all went away, and you could have been back on at your doing your life with none of this.
Yeah.
What they don't understand is I didn't pick this fight. I was doing nothing more than just existing in a realm of my birthright.
Yes.
I was doing nothing more than breathing. What I was doing was nothing more criminal than you just breathing. I was just there. And they picked this fight. Remember, when they approached me and I identified myself, their phrase was, oh, we know who you are. We got you on facial recognition. Wait a minute here. Why was that not brought up in court? Can they gather facial recognition out in that public plaza without a warrant? They admitted it to it that day. Hmm. And it's being missed.
And everything is being done without a warrant because it's for your safety. It's for your safety.
Sure.
Exactly. Well, and you know, and I'll say this again, Matt, and you've heard me say this many a times. In the last year, we have been very active. And the only aggression has been put forth by the authorities. It was usually the patriots over the last year that has calmed the situation down, that has brought safety to the environment. And some of the authorities even admit that.
And we're talking about Priest River. We're talking about the situation, property rights situations brewing down south.
Yep.
Talking about Coach Kennedy. Talking about the just this week with Seattle Pacific University denying the use of flags at the veterans denying the use of flags at the veterans ceremony.
This might be offensive.
Like, I can't even, my mind doesn't process that because it is so un-American, so antithetical to the Constitution, so antithetical to everything we believe in. It really is.
It is.
So I want to shift gears real quick because people are saying, okay, you guys have brought us, you've woke us up. What do we do about this? John, we'll start with you. What should people be doing to get involved to push back on the tyranny that's encroaching?
I would say the first thing that we need to do is realize that the party's over. I mean, stop entertaining yourself. Stop ignoring what's going on. It's time for you to become a patriot, to get actively involved and actively engaged. You should be on your knees. You should be asking for where the Lord has to make yourself willing and available for where the Lord's going to point you to, where you can serve. Serve this remnant, because what's happening in our country, I just believe that we're facing judgment, and I believe that the Lord's going to have a remnant that he's going to use for his glory, and I think I'm excited about being part of that. I want to be part of that. I desire to be, you know, for his glory. So we all need to find out where we need to play a role in that. We need to start acting like we're at war and not be just checked out and apathetic to that. And so we need to find out where our place is, where we can contribute.
Anthony?
You know, I get asked this quite often, and, you know, and I don't fault any patriot, any American citizen for what they do, what they feel they, they can do. I don't fault them for whatever level that they're participating in. But really, we're past the point, you know, and JJ just said this, you know, start acting like we're at war. Well, we are at war. We're at war with good and evil. We're at war with being free or being slaves. Just writing letters isn't enough anymore. Yes, we need the letter writers. Yes, we need the people that make the phone calls. We need all that. Mm-hmm. But we need to start dispersing our power more evenly across the board. We need to start showing up.
Yeah.
You can be the best trained in the world. You can be the most educated in the world. And guess what? It means nothing unless you show up for the fight. And, you know, the fight being, you know, show up at the House of Representatives and talk, you know, to speak when you get a chance, you know, to call your state representatives and let them know you're on their side if they stand. You know, show up to the rallies. You know, that was kind of the one of the things that was brought up in the court case and everything is they made a big deal out of the fact that I didn't have a permit to have a protest. And it totally appalled me. And my argument in court was this: since when does exercising a right constitute a protest? I wasn't protesting. I was exercising a birthright. So for them to say you need a permit to show up and voice your opinion, no, I don't. I was born with that right. You are an appointed judge appointed by man. And God give me the right to free speech. God give me the right to speak. Who are you to tell me I must ask your permission before when I was born with that right from God?
I think that brings up a great point, and we need to push back now. We've got about 3 minutes left in the program. John, you've got a radio show on the American Christian Network Saturday mornings at 11 a.m. If you can, plug the radio show. Also, your website for American Redoubt Radio Operators Network.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. Yeah, tune in to the voice of the American Redoubt. That's Radio Free Redoubt right here on this network every Saturday at 11 from 11 to noon. 11 to 11:30. We're pushing for that other half hour, but... but we are on the full hour on KTW out of Spokane. You can listen to the live streaming if you're out of the area, but you can go to radiofreeredoubt.com to learn more.
Anthony?
Well, I don't know the websites and all the web addresses. I don't have those memorized, but we have a group on Facebook, Liberty for All or LFA Washington. There's also one in Arizona. We've got three different sites, LFA, which is the kind of the lead group that monitors both. We've also have a web page, and I believe it's LFA3%.com, something like that. If you go to my Facebook page, I'll definitely have it there for you guys to find.
Perfect. I just posted both of those, and actually I posted two of yours, John, up on the Patriot Radio Facebook page right now if you want to check it out. RadioFreeReadout.com, and also the American Readout Radio Operators Network, along with Liberty for All's Facebook page. And gentlemen, final thoughts on what people can do, not only to be prepared, but what they can do to fight back, and especially if you could aim these comments at the young people out there.
Oh, boy. Oh, man. Right at the end of the show, we need a whole hour for this. You know what? Stand out, learn the Constitution and learn about your heritage. I always say YouTube is your friend. Go to YouTube, type in American heritage and start learning about your country, learning about it's been stolen from you. It's been robbed from you. You don't even know what our nation stands for. And you need to go back to that. There's something worth fighting for, something way more than what the world is telling you to. And, it's just something that, we need that young energy. And,
we have to have it. Anthony?
Well, first of all, I would say find a God-fearing patriot and get in his back pocket and figure out what guides him and where he's going and learn. It's way more than just learning the Constitution. It's how to apply it at the foundation level, and get active. don't fall for the social programming that they have exposed you to your entire life. With that being said, I had the conversation with a young gentleman here a couple days ago about which is more important, liberty or education. And that's a hard question to ask or answer. You know, they're both important, but without liberty, you have no education. My advice to him was get an education so you can defend liberty better. You know, it was something that I failed at. I didn't pursue an education, and I have a hard time articulating myself. If I would have better educated myself when I was younger, I would be way better at articulating myself today.
Wow. Well said.
Yes, sir. Matt, thanks for having us on. It's a pleasure, as always.
Well, you guys, listen, two great American patriots in the American Readout that are literally leading around the country, showing people how to push back, showing people how to do it as a Christian man, which really isn't even taught anymore. So thank you both for being on Patriot Radio today. I just posted again up on Patriot Radio's Facebook page, the website for Liberty for All 3%, also the American Readout Radio Operators Network and Radio Free Readout. Check out John Jacob Schmidt's show on Saturday morning at 11 o'clock on the American Christian Network. And there are a lot of great things happening on that show, especially with pastors and educating pastors. If you have a pastor that is kind of waffling, doesn't really want to go out there and talk about some of these issues, listen to John Jacob's radio show on Saturday morning, because they talk a lot about it. And there are a lot of pastors that actually been following up with him as of late, saying, hey, we have been waiting for this for a long time. I think, honestly, we have forgotten what it means to mentor the next generation and to disciple the next generation. And we have got to take up that mantle and do exactly that. This is Matt Shea. Thank you for joining me on Patriot Radio today. Remember to do everything you can to defend freedom locally. And may God bless all of you. And truly, I mean this, especially toward Thanksgiving. May he make this generation the greatest one.